Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you open their eyes and you're our teacher in all things, and we appreciate that. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to teach us this morning and that we can look at it and see how your power works through us, Lord, and praise your name for that. And God, I pray that this word this morning would just speak as people look at the word, that would speak to them and know the authority they have as they walk in this life, the strength that they have as they walk in this life, and just how we can be each an avenue of the power of God working through us to the people around us in this world. And that we should have strength and confidence in you because you're a mighty God. And I pray you'd anoint me this morning and just be words of the Spirit, and nothing of myself and each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We'll open up an interesting verse this morning. Zechariah, I give you time to find that. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. And also, while you're looking for that, as you drove in this morning, did you look at the church sign? It's painted. Did somebody paint? Barclay painted it, and and his son. Yay! So it's nice to have a shiny sign, isn't it? I have a lifetime. So anyway, thanks to Barclay for painting the sign. All right, are you at Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23? If no one has ever read through Zechariah, I encourage you to read through it. You know, and then have a bottle of Tylenol or something as you read that. It's a powerful book, but it is a difficult book just to understand going through it. And but it is fascinating. And by the way, here's a little tidbit. Did you know that there are more prophecies about Christ in Zechariah than any other book in the Bible? Fascinating. So anyway, encourage you to read through it and be encouraged, and don't be too discouraged if you don't understand everything it says. Well, here, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23 says this: "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, and they will say, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Now, there's a whole prophetic thing tied into that. There's a whole future prophetic thing tied into that. But I really do believe there's a message there for the church. As the kingdom is now and as the church moves forward, there's an application that we need to take hold of and be encouraged about what God is saying and what he's saying about us. Okay, so I'm going to bring it to the current time, to where we are right now. And now just think about this. Why would someone run up and grab you and say, we have heard God is with you? Think about that. And notice the dynamic. They're coming up and they're saying, we've heard God is with you. That's the setting you have here. Now, evidently, they saw or heard something about you that manifested the presence of God. Something happened, and they thought, well, manifest, they don't know, they don't understand, but I heard God is with you. So it manifested the presence of God. See, and in the darkness, God's people are light. God's people are light. I mean, all through the scripture, that's what it says. You know, when God chose Israel, you know, I've heard people, historians and everybody talk about, you know, Israel and it came and why. But when God called out Israel, he made a statement about Israel. He goes, you're the light. See, the world's in total darkness. Some would call it, now they're the light. So he works a difference because of that light. And you can see his tension, meaning his for doing this. Well, it's the same way with the church now. See, you look at the church, and we mentioned last week, you know, Jesus goes, you're the light of the world. Oh, okay, what else? process that. That's what this is saying. When you're the light of the world and it's total darkness, and the light of the world means you're manifesting God, and people say, oh my God, that person's manifesting God, and they come up and say, we heard God is with you. We want to know. We don't know. but it's dark and we see your light. So this is kind of where we're going from here. And so where there is no answers, the church has answers. All right? I just want you to kind of how God looks at us. Where there are no answers, the church has answers. Oh, God, come and speak. He goes, no, I've got you. Won't you say something? I mean, that's what the Bible says all the way through. And so it's really fascinating. Now, it's important to know what these people in this verse are not saying. This is, they're not saying this. They're not saying and running up to you and saying, you are so smart. You are so educated. You are so talented. You are so charismatic. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. However, they are saying, we heard God is with you. See, that was what, it's like, oh my, all these other people have all that, but he's, no, we heard God is with you. That's the draw. That's what, they're seeing something different working in you that they haven't seen anyplace else. They haven't seen it in all the smart people they know. They see something working in you. Now that's what's happening here. That's what's happening here. Now, and what this is, what they see the work of God initiated by God and mediated through his people. Okay? Now that's worth writing down. Okay? But look what they see the work of God. The work of God. Next part is really important. They see the work of God initiated by God and mediated through his people. See, it's not, look at me. No, it's a work of God initiated by God through his people. And that's where we see God is with you. They see God. There's something going on that's beyond you. So we have this picture. So it's fascinating. We in this point of Zechariah. And he's talking about what God intends, what God talking about what he intends. Now, to just look at a few things on this verse, the number 10, it says 10 men, you know, from the nations that every tongue will take hold of a robe of a Jew. Now, the number 10, this is something you can just keep in the back of your head, the number 10 is often used as a number of completeness. It is. Now, we know the big-time number that you see in the Bible and it uses it all the time as a number of completeness is the number 7, okay? Just across the board, when you see God using the number 7, there's more meaning to it than what catches, you know, your first impression. His number 7 is a number of a completion that God uses all the time. So you can just put that in the back of your head, that that's all through the Scripture. But also, you see it to a lesser extent, and maybe not in such a big theological, you know, sense talking about God's completion, but the number 10 is also a number of completion, okay? But not as used as a powerful way as the number 7. Now, aren't you glad you came here? That's just, you're just, your whole day is going to be better because of this now. But anyway, but that's what. So the 10 is sort of a number of completion. So what this means is it's meaning people from every nation are seeking out the Jews. Okay, now, all right. So we see this pictorial language with people from every nation are seeking out Jews, grabbing hold of a Jew's rope. So we see God is with you. Okay, so now we got this worldwide thing going on. All right? Amen? Now, but who are these Jews? Who are these Jews? Now remember, when God calls his people out, and he calls out Israel, and he calls out Jews, he calls them my people. So he separates them, and he calls them out my people. And if any of you have read through the Old Testament, I mean, what a disobedient bunch of people. Oh my goodness, you know, it's his Lordy, big God. And so, but anyway, it's God's called out people. That is the Jews. So does it mean that you have to be a, you know, racial Jew, you know, to Well, no, because this language is telling us at the time he speaks this prophecy, he's called up people, or the Jews. He didn't have anybody else. It's just the Jews, you know. But he's making, these are my called out people. And like I said, when you read about the Jews in the Old Testament, I mean, they just, they just didn't behave themselves well at all. And God would tell them. He got really upset with them. So what is the Lord saying in this picture? Well, the New Testament gives us a huge insight. And you really ought to make note of this, because this one will give you unbelievable insight into the Old Testament and gives you unbelievable insight into the New Testament. All right? This is going to be really incredible. Who are these Jews? Who are they? God is with you. Who are these Jews? Won't you turn to Romans chapter 2, 28 through 29? Give you time to turn there, or at least write it down, because this will really help you understand Scripture. This verse will really help you understand Scripture and what God doing. Because what is God doing? He's getting a called out people, a called out people that worship Him and hear from Him. All right? So now we have all these Jews. And by the way, Jesus was a Jew. Amen? The first disciples were Jews. And then you got the Apostle Paul going out. He's talking to all these Gentiles, all these non-Jewish people, you know. And so we see this called out people spreading way beyond the nation of Israel, way beyond the Jews. And so Paul, in the book of Romans, is a book of this systematic theology. It is, you know, if you read the whole thing of the whole Bible. So what he does, Paul, in his systematic theology, he explains to the people what's going on. This is how the Old Testament and New Testament tie together, all right? The Jews, Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For no one is a Jew who merely is one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. I mean, have to add the point, all the Jews were circumcised. It was a big deal. Okay, it's a big biblical deal. Okay, so for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew, verse 29, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. Now, I want you to answer. You think about it. Who are the Jews? Who are the spiritual Jews? Church. See what Paul did? And by the way, you know, Paul would go, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I mean, he was a Jew's Jew, okay? And he declares himself that. But he's going, no, a real Jew is a circumcision of the heart. In biblical graphic language, is a circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter of the written law. It's believers. Those who have received the Holy Spirit are Jews. Those who have received, come to know Christ, have received the Holy Spirit, trusted in Christ. Those are God's called out people. See, Jews are God's called out people. The church is God's called out people. And it comes from a circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, meaning we have received the Holy Spirit from God. Transformation has taken place. Amen? Y'all with me? Okay, that verse, by the way, I'm very serious. You take that verse, and it will help you understand the Old Testament and the New Testament and how they tie together and what God is thinking. In fact, if you look at the Jews and what they did, you go, God, what were you thinking? Good grief, you know. But within the physical Jews in the Old Testament were still the spiritual Jews that was inwardly. See, and that was really the core of what he's looking for all the time. Amen? And the church is just, period, that's it. There's no physical, where he's looking for a physical church, he's looking for a spiritual church. Those that accept him and receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, when Jesus is going to come back, he's going to gather up his church. Who's he going to gather up? Believers. Those who have given their heart for him. You know, and I've seen movies about this and everything else, you know, like there's been a rapture, and so the preacher comes up Sunday and you go, man, half of them are gone. What does that tell you? Half of them were believers and half that weren't believers showed up, including you. See, that's what it's going to say. It's like, oh my, you know. So when he comes for his church, he's not coming to a building or to a denomination. He's coming for people. See, people, they're going to come up. And so it'll be an interesting time when that happens. Okay, so here we have the picture. And again, it helps you when you look at this verse to understand. It's like that what they're talking about is that these people are going to come up and they're going to grab hold of a Jew and say, God is with you. They're going to grab hold of someone within the church and say, God is with you. Because something has happened. They've seen something. They've heard something that they see God with you. So you can see it coming into the, how it plays into the New Testament. Now, so this same work initiated by God, the same work of God initiated by God and mediated through his people is almost declared in the same language in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 24 through 25. Now, I'm going to read the whole thing, but it ends the same way. And the point is the same way. We see God. Unbelievers, people that don't say, we see God is with, we've heard God's with you. We want to know what's going on. Now read this. 1 Corinthians 14, 24 through 25. But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, and he's talking about comes into the church meeting. If all are prophesying and an unbeliever and an outsider enters. Now again, little definition of prophecy. What's prophecy? You hear word from the Lord, you speak it. His work, initiated by him, comes out your mouth. Okay? That's what it says. That's what prophecy is, by the way. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters in, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. That's New Testament. See, it's just like the Old Testament. It's just like, nah, amazing. He was like, God is among. Why? Because the Lord so worked through you to speak a word of God to them that hits them as the word of God and convicts their heart of God. And they say, this was God. All right? And he said, surely God is in this place. See, that's the way the church is supposed to be. It really is. As long as we got great programs. I'm not against great programs, you know, because it gets a little boring if you don't have a great program. It's a good program. But that's not, oh, I want to go to this because it's a great program. That's not what these people are saying. Oh, okay, they got the best potlucks. And I know we're going to have potlucks. And Linda's cooking. Everybody loves Linda's cooking. And we got more people come. Linda cooks. I mean, it's just good. Well, no, that's not why. You know, he said, no, they're going to come. Because God's with you. You see the motivation? It's all of a sudden they see something, and that's what we want to know what you have to say about God, because it's different than the darkness that I'm living in here. And so the non-believers declare God is among you because of something the believers spoke. Now, when these believers spoke, there was evidence that God was with them. Hey, man, how you doing? High five. How are the, oh, I started to say the Redskins, but they're not any of that football team in D.C. How, you know, like that. How are they doing, you know? Well, okay, but that's not what, it's like, hey, brother, how are you doing, you know? And you share the love of Christ. You share the kindness of Christ. You share a word, you know, to them. You speak a word of Christ to them. You share about that God loves you, and right, here's a place where you can be loved by God, you know, where the Holy Spirit tells you. And it's like, oh, you share something about God. God must be here. Again, if the Redskins ever get a name, we'll talk about them, you know, too. But, you know, I'm not saying anything wrong with that. But that's just not what this is talking about. That's not the primary thing what this is talking about. And so what we have, and that we have to realize what God says, this is what God says, the church knows the very words of God. When those of the church speak it, it's as if God himself is speaking it. Now process that. The church knows the very words of God. And we speak it, it's as if God himself speaks it. Like, Jesus was here. Trust on me. Sins will be forgiven. I mean, you can't get better than that. And if we say as his people, trust in Jesus and your sins are forgiven, what we said is as powerful as what Jesus said. That's what this is saying. Oh, I wish Jesus said it. Jesus, I wish you'd say it. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, that's what it is. There's power in Jesus' name. He goes, by the way, I'm in you. Say something. There's power in you. That's what this is saying. And people are saying, oh my God, they speak like the very words of God. They believe it, and I feel it. You know, it's coming out with the power of Christ. Because the work of God, initiated by God, spoken by us, has the power of God, just as if Jesus himself spoke it. You with me? Now see, that's what God tells us. We're going, oh golly, I don't know. Shucks. And, you know. But God said, listen, that's the reason I wrote the Bible. That's the reason I'm telling you this stuff. Because you don't have a clue. I'm telling you, this is the truth. This is the truth. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to say my words. I want you to speak, and they'll have the my power. And unbelievers, by the way, it's talking to unbelievers. I mean, we like to go to the home group, and we just talk God's word to each other. You know, we have fun. But that's not what this is talking about. It's talking to unbelievers. God loves you. Christ died for you. You know, or the Lord has given me a word through the Holy Spirit, and here's something he said that he wants me to share with you, just like they did in the New Testament. See, and you say that, and oh my gosh. And by that, that's happened in this church, happened believers, you know, people share with me all the time. See, the Holy Spirit reveals something, and you'll speak it. See, and the whole point is you're showing the unbeliever, it's like, God is real. And, oh my God, he must be with you. Son of a gun, who thought it? Right? That's what, and he wants you to speak it. You need to speak it. The title of the message, just speak it. You know something. Now, you know how I know you know something? Amen? Because someplace along the road, you trusted Christ as your Savior, and you believed on him as your Savior, and you believe it with your heart, mind, and soul. Amen? You know something. You know that. And that gets you in the kingdom. See? So just start there. And if he happens to reveal something else along the way, well, that's good. Say that also. You see what I'm saying? People, well, I don't know anything. Do you know Jesus? Okay, then you know something. By the way, you know more than 90% of the world. You know, God says, say something. You know, and that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. So that's why he says, and they'll run up and grab you and say, I heard God's with you. Well, I'm not that smart. And that's the reason God's using you, you know, so that you'll only say what he said. See what I'm saying? Now, that's what the scripture is telling us in the Old Testament, and it's saying the same thing in the New Testament. Now, I have to make a caveat, and I hate to do it, but you got to do it. I have to do it. We know that there's a lot of unstable people in the world. They are, you know, and there's something, a lot of unstable people come to church. They do, you know. I mean, but God. A woman, God says you love other everybody, and I'm thinking, I love you dearly, but you're really unstable. But anyway, I don't think that, but I may think it. Don't say that. Okay, so you know there are unstable people that misuse the Word of God. And so because there are some unstable people that misuse the Word of God, I'm not just saying that stuff. I'm not going to be as crazy as they are. See, don't let unstable people prevent you from being who you're supposed to be and share the power of God. Amen? So I had said. But that's, you know, because everybody that speaks is not listening to God, okay? Now, so we go on and say, therefore, as a people of God, speak God into every situation. If you don't walk away with anything else but this morning, and this is powerful for the church, this is powerful for you, as a people of God, speak and bring God into every situation. Okay. Big discipline time with the kids. Everybody's like, dear God, you know, go before me. Try to pull this thing together. Get their attention. God, I want you in this meeting. You go to a big meeting at work. Oh, dear God, I speak you into this meeting. Open their eyes. Open my eyes, Lord. And as I speak your truth and what you showed me, God, you show yourself strong. Take care of this meeting. Dear God, whatever the situation is, whatever the problem is, whatever it is, you know, you speak God into the meeting. Amen? And that's what this is saying. And then all of a sudden, you'll say, man, that went so well. I mean, or it might say, yeah, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. And you go, hey, that's, you got to take care of that with Jesus. I'm good. You know, maybe you don't say that, but you can think that. There's a confidence. But then also, you want to, you know, that was, where'd you get that? Man, that really struck home. See? Okay. I'm just Mark Cookie. No, that's, you know, I prayed before I came and the Lord just revealed, this is what I need to share. Speak. You see what I'm saying? And that's what he's telling you to do. And people go, oh my, how is an unbeliever going to know God is with you? How are they going to know? Break into your house one night and see you reading your Bible in the corner. Oh, that God's with him. You know, I had to break in his house and look, but he's in the corner. You wouldn't know if I hadn't been here tonight, seen him in the corner. You see what I'm saying? Speak it. You just say it. What do you know? Speak what God tells you. And that's what this says. And the unbelievers will be stirred because, there's something. God's with you. God's with you. And so you have this picture, and so he wants us to understand this. And I've shared this a multitude of times, but it's so good, I'll just always share it again. But Pastor Milliken, I told you about him, the missionary, unbelievable guy, and he would say this all the time. He was like, he didn't care. I don't want to say he didn't care. It appeared like he didn't care what's going on. He just didn't care. I mean, he just walked up, and he's just happy all the time. You know, he just, you know, and then what he would do, anything that came up, and he would use the term, let's speak God into this. You know, I've heard people, well, you don't speak God into this because he's already there, and you don't have to speak it, and he's there, and you just trust. I don't know about all that, but I know what Pastor Milliken did. He said, let's speak God into it, and God showed up. Okay, so whatever their theology was, they can be happy with it. I'm happy with Pastor Milliken. He said, you speak God into it. You speak God in that situation. But you, just like I said, you speak God in that situation. This is how he would say it. Hey, speak God in that situation. See, I'm like, speak God in that. He gets happy. Oh, this is fun. Great. Speak God in that situation. So whatever happened, and it really, you know, I heard this before as I talked to him. Sometimes I just want people to just wallow with me in my misery. You know, just like, oh, it's terrible. I know you're like, poor baby. You know, just like, he just flat wouldn't do it. This wouldn't go there. You know, just wouldn't. Oh, let's speak God in that situation. I mean, I wouldn't even have time to get all my complaints out. You know, oh, let's speak God in that situation. And then the one I shared, and I've shared again, I've shared it 20 times, and I got in a jam, partly my doing, and it's probably all my doing. But anyway, and so I had the elders of the church. I was going to, hey, I'm all mad at me. I managed to make all this. And it was like, no, it was a misunderstanding. But every time you ever get in the jam, and every time you say something, it gets worse. You know, let me explain. And it's hard. Let me explain. It's like, oh my God, they didn't mean any of this stuff. And it's like, and so you got about seven guys talking, and all of a sudden I became the problem. It's like, oh my goodness. So the elder meeting was that night, and I thought, I'm cooked. I mean, how did, I don't know. You were in the church and everybody gets along, right? Everybody's happy. Well, ain't nobody happy at me. It's like, how in the world did this happen? I called him up. I called Pastor Milken up. I mean, I'm going to bring in the heavy guns. I mean, I need help here. In the heavy guns. I called him. He's in London. So I called him up, you know, and I said, hello. You know, I just said, hello. Everything got better. And I told him what it was. Oh. He said, let's do this. Let's pray God into that meeting. You know, I should. They said what he always said. He said, let's pray God into that meeting. Okay, well, let's. And then he told me, and I've told you this before, but it's so fascinating. He says, let's pray God into that meeting. All right. Now you go in there, and here's where he says, you go in there, and don't you say one word. Now there's probably a lot of wisdom in that. You saying a word got you into this. So go in there, and don't you. So you got eight guys, elders of a church, come in. You go in there, and he says, don't you say one word. And he said this, I don't know if I told you, and he says, let them do to you whatever they want to do. Don't you say a word. I thought, now this is, that's a step too far. That's a step too far. I said, okay, now let's pray. Let's pray God into that meeting, okay? So we prayed. That's it. I mean, there's no long theological discussion, you know. There's not 14 verses to look up, you know. There's nothing to memorize, you know. It's like nothing for me, fall on my face and repent. Or anything. It's just like, no, let's just, you shut up and let's pray God into that meeting. So I walk in. I didn't say anything. So roundhouse, you know, I just sit there. And I'm just like, that's not so, you know. And just like, sit in the roundhouse. And then it circled around, and it circled back around, and it circled around, and then it came in, and they said, you know, we said, you have some really good points here, and there's something we really can learn from this, and we thank you for sharing that, and you know, I just feel that everybody's, this is a great meeting, and you're wonderful, and everybody's shaking hands, and I'm sitting there, I still haven't said nothing. I mean, I have said nothing. What do you think? Do you appreciate, what do you have to say? You go, and it's like, oh my gosh. And they walk out, everybody's happy, and they walk out with me, pat me on the back. Oh, so glad we could resolve this. I wasn't even going to say, you bet. I'm going, nothing. And then one elder that walked out, who really was on my side, Mitch knows him real well, walked down my side, and everybody's going to the garden. He put his arm around me, and he was really walking with me in this. We were a good friend. He walked out and he says, you know, Wallace, he said, I've prayed all my life that God would just show me one miracle. One miracle. And says, you know what, Wallace? I saw one tonight. And I didn't say nothing to anybody until I got home and talked to Linda. I mean, no. No. And this is not I'm not making this up. That's what it was, Wallace. Don't you say one word. Let them do to you whatever they want to do. Don't you say one word. Let's pray God into that meeting. Amen? Now, so I'm convinced. Somebody says, well, you don't have to pray God. Well, you do what you want to. I'm praying amen. I've seen it work. But now, so the point of it is what this is saying. They see something. See, even the friend of mine that walked out, he saw something. And you know what I did? I didn't say nothing. But I did what I was told of someone who I had respect with. You see what I'm saying? But that's the thing that we want to understand. It is what he would understand is this is for his church. This is for everybody. Amen? That's what's happening. Now, and we see it in the scriptures all through, is that we want, anytime you're in any situation, pray to bring God into the situation. Now think about how relational that is. Think about how, dear God, I pray you into this. Well, that's very relational. See, that's one part of it right there, is being that relational, okay? And it's also, you're depending on God to move forward and do something, and you're looking for Him to do something. So that's a step of faith. And so it's really important for us to remember that, to remember that. Now, so let God use us to speak His word into the unbelieving heart. Unbelieving. And again, this whole section in the Old Testament is talking about unbelievers. Talking about unbelievers. Okay, we're thinking, oh, I'm thinking about the believers. I can use this on. No, it's talking about unbelievers. Because God's going to speak to you to speak some word of encouragement to them. Now, look what the apostle, with this in mind, look what the apostle Paul says. Listen to what he says with all this in mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. The apostle Paul says, my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom. See, that's what, just listen to my wisdom. I ain't tell you, explain, get me out. My words and my message, my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It wasn't what he said. It's a demonstration of the Spirit and the power. So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, the people ran up and said, we hear God's with you. They didn't run up and say, oh, you're so stinking smart. No. All of a sudden, because it's in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, so people's faith won't rest in your wisdom, but in the power of God. Amen? I mean, the consistency is a little overwhelming. Note what Paul is not saying. I am so smart. I am so educated. I am so talented. I am so charismatic. He is saying, my speech is in the demonstration of Spirit and power. And that's just what Pastor Milliken did, and that's just what he's trying to get me to do. You see what I'm saying? Now, the first thing where we begin, we have to begin by knowing who God is. Do we really believe who God is? Look at Jeremiah 32:27. Jeremiah 32:27. Now, Pastor Milliken definitely believed this. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? But God, you don't know. I got them all mad at me. You know, is anything too hard for me? Step one, you shut up. Okay, that was like, I mean, that's all right. Step two, let them do anything they want to you. Step three, we'll pray God into the meeting. I'm thinking, why don't we do step three first? You know, I mean, but anyway, so behold, God says, is anything too hard for me? I mean, now we ask ourselves, well, is anything too hard for me? Now, knowing who God is, we will speak because we know who God is and what He's showing us. And our words have the power of God. See, I think this is the truth. Our words have the power of God. When we're hearing from Him and speaking, He's speaking through us, our words have the power of God. And this is why Jesus said, okay, like, you know, by the way, I didn't know. Jesus has His act together, okay? Okay. So this is why Jesus said. He said something because He totally understood this. And He said this, speak to the mountain. What are you worried about? Speak to the mountain. Mark 11:23. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes in what he says, will come to pass. It will be done for him. Speak to the mountain, it'll be done for you. And you know, you look at this, well, it looks like all sorts of caveats. Well, this, and you know, if you fasted 3 days a week and read your Bible every day and prayed every night, he didn't say anything. Just speak it. Speak to the mountain, and it'll move. It'll be done for you. Just move. Move. Now, pick it up and throw it into the sea. Now, Let's look at this from Jesus' perspective, okay? Because I know what you're thinking. See, because I know what you're thinking because I think the same thing, okay? You know, but wait a minute, you know. But look at this from Jesus' perspective. Jesus is the beginning of all creation, okay? Trinity. Holy Spirit's at the beginning of creation. God's at the beginning of all creation. And God created the mountains. How did he do it? He spoke the word. He created the mountains. See, Genesis 1:9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. There's the mountains. He just, how did God do? He spoke the words. He created the mountains. Now, what Jesus is saying, because Jesus was there, he saw that. Hey, God created the mountain. I mean, you can say that Jesus was part of creating the mountains or whatever, you know, but they were all there and they created. So Jesus saw God created the mountain. He just spoke it and there it was. So Jesus is saying God spoke and created the mountain. Therefore, he can speak and move the mountain he created. See, that's our issue. We see the mountain, we don't believe he created it. But if we believe he created it, well, he can move it. Because he created it. See, God, what we have here is that there, I'm going to repeat this, therefore, he can speak and move the mountain because he created it. So no, it's not an issue. God's going, Jesus is going, it's not an issue. I don't, just speak to the mountain. There's no issue. You see what I'm saying? That's what Jesus is saying, by the way. Now, so when we look at this, God is telling us then, we need to speak to the mountain, and he will move it. That's the message. Why? Because we believe God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, here's one thing I want us to take into account. People will look at this. This means like I can go outside. You know, I can go in the Rockies and just speak to these mountains. I'm going to move it. You know, I'm going to go in my garden and I'm going to move this hunk of dirt. You know, Jesus is not talking about moving dirt. He's not talking about moving dirt. I mean, do you think, praise God, I came to know Jesus because he can move dirt. And I trust Jesus because he says, I can move dirt. Now, what does that tell you? You know, like that, we don't have a clue what he's talking about. That's what they tell. We don't understand. But he's using it as an example. What he's using as an example is this mountain is a situation that is impairing us from doing the things we need to do for God. Right? He's saying, move it. Just speak to it, it'll move. And so the point of, he is saying, any situation you are in, speak to it, I'll take care of it. So he's telling us to speak to it. Amen? That's the point. He's saying, he's not telling us to create a situation to speak to, all right? Or go hunt for a situation to speak to. Or get a bunch of friends and go out behind your house and say, watch, I'm going to move this hunk of dirt. He's not doing that. But what he's telling us is the point. The obstruction in us, it's the mountains that we can't move and go forward. He's saying, just speak to it, I'll move it. The point of it is we know who God is. We know what he can do. And he says, therefore, our job with the mountain is easy. Okay? Speak to it. Our job with the situation is speak to it. You know, Pastor Milliken, man, this is awful. You won't believe what's going on. Okay, let's just bring God into it. Let's speak to it. Now, but he, you know, gave the thing. There wasn't any guarantees. He said, let them do to you whatever they want to do. To me, like, well, there's an option. They're going to do something. You know, but they didn't make any, but it was like they didn't make any difference because it's all in what he's doing. It's all in what he's doing. You're just locked into with what God's doing. And see, and to you, like with people, you speak, oh, I just pray this person come to Jesus. Boom. Well, and I think that's good, and I think you should pray for that. But there's some people not coming to Jesus. God has to work within people. He has to work through their heart. They have to make a decision. He doesn't create robots. He doesn't do it with us. All right? He doesn't do it with other people. So you have to allow God in his realm to work the way he's supposed to work because there's other people involved. We can't control other people's lives, all right? God doesn't even do that. You realize that? He didn't do that, you know? He wants you to turn to Him, then He'll work through you. So it's a personal thing. However, within that, as we face life in situations, we come to situations, we just bring God into it. All right. And even if it's a person, He's working with that other person. Okay, God, we bring you into it. He's got to work with that person that they say and do what they're supposed to do, or they don't, and suffer the consequences. But we just gave it to God. We pray God into that situation. Y'all with me? So this, it makes sense. All right, for all of y'all that want to go and move the dirt in your backyard. I mean, that's not what He's talking about. That's not what He's trying to tell us there. So, but if we look at this, we speak to God, we speak God into the situation, and God takes care of the situation. Amen? Now, I want you to share what Pastor Milken said. Two things. Now, it really worked out well. You go in there, we'll pray God into this situation. All right. Don't you say anything. Let them do whatever they want to do. You know, it's like, no, I want a little more power in here than that. You know, come on, you know, kind of less, you know, a little fire and lightning on a couple of them I'm thinking about. You know, He goes, no, you just let them do. See, you pray God in the situation, and then you see God's work in the situation. And then you can move in it with confidence. You see what I'm saying? That's what He's saying. I mean, that's the whole thing what He's saying here. It really is. It's a powerful what He's saying here. Now, so we want to be encouraged. How am I doing? I kind of got telling too many stories. Okay, but so we see that this is what God's called for believers, and this is the confidence we have, and we walk in the situation, and because we know we believe God. Is anything too hard for me? He is working. He is working. Now, I just want to quickly touch on, that's every individual. Now, can you imagine when a group of individuals get together, you know? It's like, and I use this verse a lot, the principle is still there, in Matthew 18, 19 through 20, and it says this, again, I say to you, if two of you to agree on earth about anything, agree about anything they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm among them. He's not showing up. I'm showing up. Pray God in the situation. Group of people pray God into the situation. The Apostle Paul said, they had the little church discipline to do. He said this. He says, when we meet, and he makes the point that when we meet together, power is multiplied. The power of Jesus is multiplied when we meet together. 1 Corinthians 5:4. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, what happens when you assemble together? Spirit is present with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I put speak, because it just goes on and says what they said. When you gather together, you speak. And you're gathering together in unity of the Spirit. Then, this also helps us to understand why Jesus, this is why Jesus says that when things go bad, the world around us is looking really bad, He says we shouldn't ever neglect meeting together. When things are getting bad, don't neglect meeting together. See, God wants to move heaven and earth through us, so He needs us to meet together. See? Needs us to meet together. Who doesn't want us? Who knows this and doesn't want us to meet together? Knows it. He knows it, and He doesn't want to meet together. Satan. See, Hebrews 10 verse 25. Do not neglect meeting together, but encourage one another. All the more as you see the day drawing near. Amen. So here we are. We want to speak God's presence into every situation we face. We come together and speak God's presence. And first of all, what's the first thing we're going to say? First thing we're going to say when we gather and we're going to speak God's presence, we'll just look at 1 Corinthians 1:23. Right there. We preach Christ crucified. stumbling block to the Jews and a folly to the Gentiles. So that anything, it's preface, we preach Christ crucified. There's no answer to any solution. There's no solution to anything until we preach Christ crucified. Then we preach what he says. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, so y'all just go out and talk to everybody. All right? We'll have Adam here come up here, lead us in praise song. By the way, God just says he breaks through in praise. But let's think about this, that the bottom line, what he's saying, is God saying he wants us to speak forth his word, and it has the same power as if he spoke it himself. It does. If you speak God's word and what God has shown you, we are nothing but an avenue, and it has the same power as if God spoke it himself. It says it through Scripture. Now the problem is, and don't let the unstable people, because there's going to be a lot of unstable people saying crazy stuff. Okay. There's just unstable people, period. All right. But don't let that throw you from speaking God's truth and knowing it's as if Jesus said it himself and things are happening. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We're excited about what you're doing. And that, Lord, we are here and you just, hey, just speak. Just speak. And then, hey, you've got to watch what God does. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.